Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we will be taking callers. The number is 646-716-9663. And I'm very enthusiastic and energized tonight to have Tara Faulkner, PhD, with me. Welcome, Tara.
Thank you, Star. It's an honor to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Tell us what you do. There seems, on your website, there seems to be so many things you do connected with astrology in so many new ways that I have not seen before.
Yes, that's the feedback I've gotten from others, too, that I seem to be doing things with astrology that are not typically done. I am a very, I would say, iconoclastic astrologer, and I've only been practicing astrology for the last 7 years, although I've been around astrologers for the last 35 years. But 7 years ago, I had a very powerful dream vision in which I shapeshifted into the Tree of Life. And as I woke up from that dream, I was seeing an astrological formula written on a chalkboard for the Tree of Life. And from that time on, I've been able to look at astrological charts and see things. So I didn't come into the practice of astrology in any sort of conventional way. And I think that the way I practice it is a reflection of that.
I think that's very interesting. More and more people seem to get things in a channeled and in a dream state and awaken differently than they did in the 60s and 70s with my teaching. So I think that it's important for us to receive the information in as many different ways and words as we can. So tell us a little bit about some of your readings.
Well, for example, there's one type of reading I do called Star DNA Activation.
Oh, wow. Picked my favorite one right away off the whole page. Talk to me about that.
Well, I was partly inspired by my mother, who happens to be a practicing genealogist. And so she inspired me with the love of roots and family and ancestry. And, of course, loving astrology the way I do, the thought of combining the two was very intriguing to me. So I happened upon an ancestral DNA website that for just $129, you can send in your saliva, have your DNA tested, and receive maps that tell you your deep ancestry going back at least 500 years, and oftentimes find out some very surprising things. So what I've been doing is combining those DNA ancestral maps with astrocartography and overlaying the DNA ancestry maps with actual planetary lines from a person's birth chart in order to identify certain what I call ground zero hot spots on the planet where your deep ancestry actually coincides with past life indicators.
That sounds very complicated. I've done lots of DNA work, and I've done lots of past life work. Somehow, did you get a formula or work in a formula to make this a little easier for you to find out at your clients?
Yes, over time, I think that's sort of naturally what happens. You start looking for patterns, and then finding shortcuts. For example, Saturn happens to be a very powerful indicator of past life karma, and especially if it's on the nadir line or the root line. So I always look immediately for Saturn to see where that root line happens to be, landing in a person's astrocartography map, and then looking to see if that happens to coincide with any of their deep ancestry. And oftentimes it does.
Wow. I'm just sitting here boggled by the ability to put so many different energies together, and I'm going, wow, that would be something that I would definitely want to know about. In fact, all of your reading, what is your website?
It's called TaraFaulknerPhD.com.
And will you spell your last name for us?
FaulkNer.
And people, if you get on Tara's site, she must have at least, 12, 14, 18 different types of reading?
I think I'm up to 24.
24, and I keep going through this Mayan code. Oh, I want that way. Mm-hmm. My archetype, oh, I want that one. I want my Atlantis one. Oh, I want that one. And the relocation is, a wounded healer one. I know almost every healer would like to hear about what their core is. And I'm just marveling at this. Tell me, what was your spiritual experience that woke you up, that kind of made you realize there was a whole lot more in the energy field than there was in a physical plane?
I love that question. I think it started with the fact that in this life I chose to be an identical twin. Which is a very particular type of karma where you actually share DNA with another person. And then to come into this world, to share the womb as well, and then come into life. And my earliest memories, I think my sister and I used to trade bodies as kids. Before we could even talk, I think we used to energetically go into each other's bodies a lot. And we had our own secret language. My mom said nobody else knew what we were saying. So that was the beginning. And then also I had a very traumatic experience at the age of 13, which was my father dying suddenly of a brain hemorrhage in his 30s, and me being the oldest of five kids and my mom being widowed at 33 years old. And I think that's a very common experience for people who grow up to become energy workers or psychic or, gifted in some spiritual way. I noticed looking at your bio today that you had had quite a challenging childhood as well.
Well, sometimes when I ran around the world looking for things to heal myself and people to give me techniques, they gave me all these other techniques that eventually it was only logical to disperse them to people who had those problems. When I ran around the world and lived 16 years and, with shamans and witch doctors and curanderos, they didn't just teach me what I wanted to know. You learned masses of stuff, and 90% of it isn't for you. And the only thing that you really can do is when you see or in somebody's presence who need to that information is to give it to them. And it's amazing how many people who have trauma in their childhood, they chose to heal it, or it numbed them down so much that they chose to disappear this lifetime.
Exactly. And, I felt that was the dilemma I was up against. My father's death was, definitely a tragedy on one level, but I was determined to find some blessing in it. And at about the age of 23, that's when I knew I was walking a fine line where I was either going to become a drug addict of some sort or, do something that would really destroy my life, or I was going to put my life on a really spiritual path, and that I was walking a tightrope, and it was really one choice or the other. And there wasn't a whole lot of room for me to sort of meander. It had to be one or the other, and in order to honor my father's death and honor my own life as well, because what I learned from his passing over so early was how precious life is, I knew I had to do something to honor that.
That's very important. And many, many people who are attracted to spirituality, I'm not going to say they're at their crossroads. They're at their why. And the why is you're in front of you, there's two paths in front of you. And the path is to I'll go into the spiritual, metaphysical realm where the path is to wait it out for another lifetime. I'll sit home, eat chips, drink a six-pack of beer after you come home from work, go back to work the next day, God knows, have a barbecue on the weekend, and do this till you die, you know?
Yeah.
And people come to this why a lot in their life, and there's not, for me at my time, there wasn't a lot of people saying, oh, you know, metaphysics, spirituality, or light works. I had to learn that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, we have people like me and you who have gone through our own personal experiences, and we can disseminate information to our students, our clients, and the people we teach. So that's important. So tell me the type of funny and different and wonderful astrological readings you've had. Do you have some examples of eye-openers that you've given to clients without naming anybody?
I do. In fact, one I can actually name because it was a reading I did for my twin sister. And it was so poignant because this actually happened just less than a year ago. She had been dating a man and for on and off for most of 2013. And things hadn't worked out in terms of them, you know, staying together in a relationship, but they had stayed friends. And then she had moved to Hawaii, and he had stayed here in New Orleans, where I live. And early January of 2014, he sent her a text. And in the text, he said that he had just checked himself into the hospital and that he felt that he was fighting for his life. He had some kind of lung infection, and he was having a really hard time fighting it, you know, kicking it out of his system. From that time on, she received a couple of other texts, but eventually what happened was he was put into a medical coma. And much to our complete shock, he died on the spring equinox, right at the exact time of the spring equinox. And my sister and I were just, you know, blown away by what had happened. He was only 57 years old. And I said to her, I think that there must be a message in this. There must be a message for him to have died at the exact time of the spring equinox. And he knows I'm an astrologer. He knew that.
Right.
I think he was such a type A personality. He was a chiropractor. He knew hundreds, thousands of people. I said, I think he orchestrated this. He was in a coma for a month and a half. He could have chosen some other time to cross over, but he chose the exact moment of the spring equinox. I said, I'm going to print out his chart for that moment, which had never occurred to me before, to do a death chart. And so this led into this new another type of astrology I practice now called astrological mediumship, where I actually look at people's death charts to dissect or decode if there's a message that they're trying to communicate to their loved ones by the choice of the timing of the death. And so with my sister, it turned out that the death chart for this man, I'll call him Michael, had what's called a finger of destiny in it. It's a beautiful isosceles triangle, and it's very focused, and it's pointing at one particular spot in the chart with a lot of focus. And it happened to be pointing at the very last degree of Pisces, because, of course, that's what happens with the spring equinox. You're crossing over from Pisces into Aries. So his sun in the death chart was at the very last moment of Pisces, which is the moment that corresponds to the Christ on the cross and the moment when Christ says, it has been accomplished. In other words, something great has been accomplished. Through that suffering that occurred. And I said, I think he's telling you that he's crossed over into the clear light, you know, he's gone through that tunnel, and that it's some kind of, he's paying some sort of respect to you, because what the chart means is rebirth into the clear light. And my sister's name happens to be Renee Claire, which means rebirth into the clear light.
Oh my.
And we both just, so many synchronicities occurred around that event, we both knew it was something beyond. He was communicating with all kinds of people on all kinds of levels.
Very powerful, and to be able to time that, save your energy or extend your energy to be able to pass at that exact time sounds like something a master would do. So I find that very profound. What has turned up in people's charts that's kind of funny that we all have to have a laugh about? So what were some of those experiences?
Oh, funny. I don't tend to be a very funny astrologer, I guess. I see synchronicities often, and I think that those are an expression of cosmic humor. So maybe that's what, maybe I could give an example of that. Lately, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but I've been doing a lot of a new type of chart I'm calling the Magdalene Isis star chart.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yes. Now this has a lot of synchronicities and some cosmic humor attached to it as well. About 4 months or 5 months ago, I was contacted by a woman who was about to start a pilgrimage to the south of France to download some sacred geometry and some codes related to Mary Magdalene.
Rennes de Château?
In that general area.
Yeah.
And she asked me if I would do a chart for her to get a sense of, some clues to point her in certain directions about how to use her time while she was there and what it all meant. So I pulled up her chart, and something told me, and this is how I work, just very intuitively, to put the asteroids Magdalene and Isis into her chart. Actually, it was just to put the asteroid Magdalene in at that point.
Okay.
So I did. I did that, and I looked, and that Magdalene asteroid landed right between the fixed stars Isis and Sirius in her chart at 13 and 19 degrees Cancer, right in the sweet spot between them. And I just started laughing. Something about it. Just I felt like, okay, the goddess is coming through, that the lineage, the Magdalene Isis lineage. At that time, I didn't even think of it in terms of Magdalene and Isis being part of a lineage, but it was so blatant. And so I thought, well, I wonder if I created a five-pointed star in her chart, what would happen, which would be every 72 degrees. So I looked to see what asteroids or planets were at each of those points. She had Venus at one of those points. She had Aphrodite. She had Chiron, the wounded healer archetype, related to the Christ, at another one. And I think she had Osiris or Nephthys. It was Nephthys, which is the identical twin sister of Isis, at the other. I mean, it was blatantly obvious. And so I worked with her around that five-pointed star, sacred geometry, and that's just one example, and really encouraged her that while she was there to look for those types of clues, to look for different, examples of the five-pointed star, when she was in Rennes-le-Château, for example, at the Magdalene Chapel or whatever it's called there, to see if that would occur and to follow those clues.
Well, the Magdalene lineage is somehow in the last 4 or 5 years have seemed to awaken so much, and so many people come and say, I feel like I'm in the Jesus Christ lineage, I'm in the Mary Magdalene lineage, and what a lot of people don't know is the Jesus may have fathered other children with other women, like Mary of Bethany. That the lineage could be more widespread. But people have been asking about that, and definitely Anne, the mother of Mary, definitely studied in Egypt a long period of time with in the Isis secret society. So there's a lot of that comes up. And I believe that we have a blood lineage, that we have a lineage that goes back to some master teacher, that goes back to when our chromosomes accepted light. And then I believe we have a spiritual lineage. For example, I'm a curandera, and when my teacher died, she gave me the energy to lead that particular curandera lineage. So sometimes we need more spiritual family than we need family, but family's here to teach us some very important lessons. So the whole lineage thing has just been coming up the last 15, 20 years, and I think it's really important for people to gain any wisdom or any information, whether it be through astrology or a channel, what type of lineages they're working with.
Absolutely, and you might be interested to know, I just pulled your chart up.
Okay.
But you happen to have the Magdalene asteroid conjunct your south node.
I kind of figure that. I've been told that before. Totally. And then I carry the Curandera lineage as my spiritual lineage. So it's pretty interesting. Many people don't know this, but something I suggest that somebody does whenever they move. And what do you do for people when they move or are choosing a place to live?
Mm-hmm. I love doing relocation astrology. I was mentored by Wayne Moody, who happens to be, in my opinion, the best probably astrocartographer alive today. He's truly a magician. And he taught me so much about how to look at astrocartography maps. What I like to do whenever I look at a person's chart is to always identify the primary sacred geometry of the chart, because I feel that each person has a particular blueprint related either to the grand square, the grand trine, the finger of destiny, the kite, whatever, all these different configurations you can have. Everyone has one that's predominant. And I look to see what planets are involved in that particular sacred geometry, and then I punch those particular planets into the astrocartography software that I have, and especially look to see where they come up on the midheaven line. Actually, it depends on what it is they're hoping to
activate. Some people want to move to be successful in business, so moving to retire is a whole different story.
That's very true. People
running from themselves, no matter where they go, there they are, you know. But I suggest that everybody have a relocation astrology if you can choose to live in a couple of different places, or you do your job on your computer, which many people do now, that you find out exactly what you want and where to live to get that. And this is $65 is like, wow, such a good price. And what is your website again, Tara?
TaraFaulknerPhD.com. I also just started a mystery school Facebook group called the Magdalene Isis Mystery School. It's a private group. And I would love it if anyone out there who's listening and feels a resonance to what I was talking about earlier would like to be part of that group. If you would email me at just magdalene.isis@gmail.com, I'd be happy to add you to the group. We're just getting started, but some really exciting things are happening there already. So I'd like to put that out. Back to the astrocartography and the relocation charts for a minute, though. I think I'm a living testament to how well that can work. I relocated to New Orleans 4 years ago and happened to have relocated to my Venus midheaven line here.
Okay.
Which, you know, the midheaven being the higher calling and work, but Venus being the goddess, but also love and beauty and the natural world. And I have really blossomed here. It feels like I am in the goddess flow and nothing can go wrong. And I actually even met my soulmate sweetheart 2 years ago here after 58 years of trial, a lot of trial and error. And so it really does matter. It really does matter where you live, where you can be hitting your head against the wall in certain locations, wondering why you just can't seem to get your life to go the way you'd like it to. And I know some people say that there's no such thing as the what do they call it, the geographic cure. But I actually think that it really can work. It really does work that way. If you're smart enough, if you're intentional enough about what you do.
I agree with you. Many people, when they ask me where to move, I see two things. I see where they shouldn't move and where they should move. And many of us have walked, all of us have walked this world before. And sometimes in some places, we've developed some very bad karma. And in some places, we've developed very good karma. The moment you were born will tell you where to go, where you can experience the best. So astrocartography is really necessary if you want to work, if you want to mate, if you want to retire and relax, or whatever other reason you have to move. From my understanding, each planet has its own line, and each planet has its own definition, and if you want to get what that planet gives, you move on that line or near it, correct?
Exactly, and I'll give you another really good example of how this works. I did a reading for a woman about 6 months ago. She had contacted me because she was having some major concerns about a relationship she was in and wondering about also where she might relocate to help with the relationship. And she told me this story that was just, you know, one of those stories that makes you really believe in destiny. And she said in high school, she had met this man, and it had been, you know, he was a boy at the time, they were teenagers. It was love at first sight, really powerful chemistry, you know, all kinds of energy going on. They got together, they were together for about a year, but she broke up with him because he had some violent tendencies, and she had to actually get a restraining order against him. So, but she felt at the same time that he was this great love of her life. So 10 years go by, and she relocated to Denver on her Venus line, and a friend invited her over for dinner, a male friend. She went to his house, and this man that she had been in love with, involved with in high school, was there at this guy's house. He happened to be a friend of his.
Wow.
Whereas
you know,
they had
it's like the synchronicities that your spirit guides will do anything. I knew a lady who lived in New York, and she said, you know, she had a 30-year period without finding her mate. She went to Spain. She went to Spain, and she was having dinner, and she heard somebody else, a guy, say he was from New York, and she went to talk to him. They turned out to be living in the same building in New York City, but entering the building through different entrances. And they had lived there for 5 years, and they never met each other, and they had to go to Spain, maybe where their Venus line was, and met each other and came back and got married. So, and still are married to this day. So you hear these stories, and you know that certain places have different types of electricity and energy to feed you, and that's really important.
Yeah.
So I just looking at these readings and on Tara Faulkner, PhD.com, I just can't even see anything I wouldn't want. New planets in you. Let me see. We're going to go to the half-hour break, and we'll come back and talk about the new planets in a minute. So take a deep breath.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
I'm here with Tara Faulkner, and we are taking calls. The number is 646-716-9663. So tell me about the new planets.
Well, there are two new planets in particular I'm really excited about. One is called Haumea, and the other is called Maki Maki. I don't think too many people know about them, but they're actually dwarf planets. They've been discovered in the last few years. And Haumea represents an immaculate mother archetype, a very high frequency of bringing in the divine feminine in the form of the mother. And Maki Maki represents the golden child, which so many people these days are talking about, star children. The level of the number of old souls who are incarnating at this time to help with this evolutionary process that we're engaged in. So Haumea and Maki Maki to me are part of that energetic shift that's occurring. That to me, that's what they represent in the chart, is the bringing in of very high frequency children and parenting.
I think that's very interesting. One of the ladies who's been teaching my work, who lives in Portugal, her name is Haumea, and she has just conceived for the very first time and will be having a baby later on next year. I'm going to make sure I tell her about this. Okay, so I think for me, my most powerful reading was an asteroid reading. And I, what was I, Pat Mandu or something like that, and I went to an astrologer who was like 22 generations astrologer. And when I was young, my older sister committed suicide, and I never, ever again thought about the date. But anyway, when I went to this astrologer through my asteroids and everything, he told me the exact date in my life where my sister committed suicide, my exact day where I ran away from my parents' home, and the exact day when I graduated from college. And I was so blown away by asteroid work. And to me, it's something that a lot of people don't pay attention to, but is vital. Talk to me a little bit about the asteroids.
Well, I got the asteroid download basically from Demetra George. Probably people listening will know her name. She's a very well-known astrologer that I happen to have the privilege of working with a bit. And she did a reading for me and helped me see some of the powerful asteroid energies in my own chart. And that's what got me off and running with asteroids. For example, the Sphinx asteroid is conjunct my sun, and I'm very connected to Giza and what goes on there with the pyramids. And the asteroid Isis is exactly conjunct my moon. So that's a very powerful connection for me. I agree. I think that there's so much going on in astrology these days, it's hard to keep up with it. And the asteroids are one aspect of that. But it's a very, you get to have all the goddesses come into the chart when you start working with asteroids.
And I think that's very important. And I think, you know, in the 60s and 70s when astrology came out, just, hey, what sign are you? You know, now what's your rising? Where's your, you know, we started asking that of other people to get a hint of what the energies of each sign was. Many people thought it was a pickup line, and it may have been, but I see the subconscious, unconscious mind gathering energies and wisdom about each of the zodiac signs. And we've grown so much in the astrological world. There's been so many more inputs, the goddesses, the asteroids, the new planets. You know, I'm not so sure Pluto still got to stay a planet, but I'm pretty sure it is astrology, you know. And
yeah,
you can get readings for very, very specific things. Hey, Mark, how are we doing? Do you have any callers online?
Yeah, we're all set to go.
All right, let's take the first call.
Steve?
Hi.
Hi, Stig. What question do you have for us tonight?
Well, but before I ask the question, I have some great news for you.
Okay, tell me, baby.
After 2 years of not doing one project I like, struggling a lot in the last 2 weeks, I've gotten involved in 3 projects, one of which pays really nice money. I've done 2 of them. They were both great experiences. Everything that was wrong with everything I've done in the last 2 years was absolutely right with both of these projects. And it is great. And I guess...
Well, that's good, and congratulations on that. And I'd like you eventually to check in with Tara and have more of a little bit personal, longer session with her. And I would like you in particular, Stig is a client of mine for 20-some years, and he's an actor and a very good one and a comedian. I would probably suggest that you get the new planets and you reading from her. Okay?
Okay.
Write that down. And what I got to say to you is keep up the good work and keep up the positive attitude. Thank you, Stig.
Does Tara have anything to say to me at all?
Tara?
Is your name Stig? Did you say it's Stig? S-T-I-G?
Yeah, his name is Steve, but we call him Stig, S-T-I-G.
I would love to work with you. I don't work. I have to look at a chart to be able to, give you information. That's how my downloads work.
Sure.
But I hope that you will go to my site and see what speaks to you. And if Star thinks that the new planet reading is the one for you, then... and she's known you so long that she's probably right on with that.
Yeah, she's one of the people I love the most in my life.
thank you, sweetie.
Thank you both. So I love you.
Bye-bye. It's nice when you have clients that stay with, take your information and wisdom for so many years. Mark, who's next?
All right, we have Marilyn.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Marilyn. What would you like to know?
I'd like to know about my work, what's coming up for work.
And you are working currently?
I do have a little thing currently.
Okay, I'm not happy with the little thing. The little thing is not enough to support you. It is not enough to entertain your mind, and definitely not enough to create what your energy is worth. I am looking at a big thing, and this big thing will happen after the 5th of January. Do you have any idea when you'll go into something bigger or what
it will
be?
No, that's why I'm calling you.
Okay. I see the big thing coming up after January 5th. I see that it's 30% related to something you've done in the past, but it uses some of your personal talents and other energies to create the other 70% of the job. And you are definitely a people person, correct?
Yes.
And this will be with people. So pay attention. You have to look for jobs. Other people's jobs drop in their lap. So you have to look in the newspaper. You have to have your resume out there. And
been
do
doing it.
Do it, and after the first of the year, the 5th exactly is when your spirit guides are telling me. And what sign are you, darling?
I'm September 21st, so Virgo going to Libra.
Okay. Tara, is there anything you have to say to our Virgo?
Just listening to you, I suspect there's something big going on in your chart with Saturn. Saturn always makes people really uncomfortable in order to make big changes in their lives. And... oftentimes when people come to me about work-related issues, it's a Saturn square, a Saturn opposition, heading toward a Saturn return, Saturn going through the 10th house, something like that.
Believe you have been uncomfortable the last 4 or 5 months, right?
Yes, very.
Okay, so remember, enlightenment comes when you're uncomfortable. If you're comfortable with something, there's no place to grow. So enlightenment comes when you're uncomfortable. Thank you for calling.
I just want to add about Saturn that without Saturn in our charts and in our lives, we would never grow up. We would never learn. We would never become responsible. And so it's a great gift, even though it makes us uncomfortable.
Okay. Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have somebody else there, Mark?
All righty. Let's see. Hold on one second. Okay, Fanny.
Hello. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, sweetie. What is your question tonight?
Well, I actually would just like to know whatever would come through for my highest of good. My birthday is 11/19.
Next, she's coming right up on it.
Yes.
Yeah, her solar return, she's coming right on it. Any hints for her right now?
I'm not a psychic, Star.
I'm gonna tell her a few things.
Okay.
Tell me your name again.
Fanny.
Is it Sammy or Sandy?
F like Frank, A-N-N-I-E.
I knew I wasn't getting it. There it is. There is somebody in your life who's been in your life and they've been pretty annoying. Are you going to be able to get them out of your life in the next 3 or 4 months?
Pretty annoying.
Yeah.
What kind of energy do they have? Because
They probably are too persistent. They probably they're not negative. They're just overly abundant in whatever their gifts are, and they keep pressing onward.
I have no clue who that is. I just started working.
Okay, and that person is there. And that
at
person,
my job?
Yeah, that person isn't the first ring of people around you, but in the second ring. And one of the things you gently, easily have to do is to say no to this person and no to this person and no to this person. Okay?
I can't even picture who you're
You will.
Connecting
you will.
With.
In another 2 weeks of being there, you will absolutely see this person. On the positive side for yourself right now, there is a drawing of deep wisdom from you in this job. And it isn't doing the job. It is being a marker, a pivot point of light for all the people around you. Do you understand what I'm saying about that?
Yes, I'm going to bring positive energy into the office.
Well, not only positive energy, you're going to bring in light that we can't even define what it does. It uplifts people's souls. It makes them forgive and show gratitude easier. That the most important part of you being in this office is being the beacon of light that you are. So if you get frustrated and you look at this job, understand that there's a higher meaning for you being there. Now, I'm feeling very lost about your sexual life. What's going on there?
There's none.
Okay, well, then that's one reason I'm lost. Let me look forward for you, baby.
Thank you. I had a little difficulty connecting my sexuality with my spirituality. Do you know how to do that?
Okay, have you looked at any of the spiritual tantric exercises from White Tantra? I want you to write this down, White Tantra, and it's usually exercises in bringing the spiritual and the sexual energy. And the great part about them is you can do them alone, most of them.
Hmm.
And
do you see a man entering it?
I do. Yeah. I see someone coming in after the 10th of July of 2016. Now, listen to me carefully because we have some very specific words for you. You will mate and stay mated till death do you part.
Okay.
Okay, now listen. That means you may not marry him. You may not marry this person, but you will be mated to this person till you or this person passes. Got it?
Yes.
And you, it feels like you guys are almost ready for each other, but both of you have the details to work out.
The what?
The details, you know?
Oh.
To work out in your soul and in your life. Thank you very much for calling.
I could give you some information now. I just looked at your mind and soul codes for the year, which I could do without knowing all about your birth time. So starting on your birthday on the 19th for the entire year, your Mayan soul code will be the mirror and the number 13. And so it's all about things becoming crystal clear. Being everywhere you look, the world will be mirroring parts of you back to you with incredible clarity and sharp. There'll be a sharp quality to it, which might be sort of uncomfortable sometimes. Because it will be so clear. It'll be like instant karma. Everything you do, everything you feel, you'll see it mirrored immediately.
Oh, wow.
In your environment, especially with the number 13 associated with it, which is the final flowering number in the Mayan soul code system. It's like the lotus flower that blossoms out of the mud. There's a full flowering that comes through that mirroring process.
It's funny that you mentioned Mayan because I've done a couple of meditations recently and I feel myself going to I believe it's a Mayan temple. It feels clay and it's pointed and it's very odd that you mentioned that.
And the whole Mayan environment, having lived with the Mayans, it smells very earthy where the churches in the United States and smell more like books or something like that.
Mm-hmm. This is earthy.
Also, I have 4 or 5 Mayan initiations I give, which the Mayan curanderas gave me. So that is my lineage, and the lineage I'm now the leader of is Mayan lineage. So I'm not surprised that you called.
Oh.
And then Tara has that Mayan stuff too. So thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Can I give my birth date, Star?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
February 20th, 1966, 12:54 p.m.
February 20th. What I'm just going to do, just to simplify things on my end, is look at your Mayan soul code, since to put in the chart would take a bit of time here. So February 20th, when? What year?
66.
66. Before or after sunrise?
After sunrise.
Okay.
That's really cool.
Okay, beautiful. Beautiful. Is this Mark, the person who's been doing the calls?
Yeah, they are right
yes,
here.
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful. You happen to have the Jaguar code, which is one of the highest codes. I'm not surprised you found your way to working with Star in whatever capacity. But the Jaguar is called the High Priest. He works through anonymity as much as possible, not being out there drawing attention to himself, but behind the scenes. And the Jaguars were typically the protectors of sacred space and temples. And so it was it helped that they could be invisible. Invisibility, they wore the cloak of invisibility so that they could create, protect sacred space without being perceived. So that's your primary code. Your number is the number 6, which is, of course, the number of sacred marriage, the Merkaba, the spinning, the light body of ascension. These are very high frequencies, the Jaguar and the number 6, indicating that you have been a person of a lot, like a shaman, in other lifetimes. In the Mayan world, if you're born with this particular code, you're put on a path to work as a shaman in the community, in the village. So that's,
wow.
in this life, in the modern context, that's what you're here to do. But mostly with a lot of humility, You don't need to be the center of attention. You're doing things behind the scenes that people don't even necessarily know you're doing, working with energy.
And I find that true. And usually when I find what happens when people pass through their jaguar is that they mate or they become sexually active. And the jaguar dance is one of the most powerful Mayan dances, and it goes through many sexual positions. And, of course, the person who is the jaguar is masked and at times becomes invisible. So you might be up for a mate as soon as the shoot passes.
I agree. I think, too, with that number six, that's all about kundalini, you know, the energy of the kundalini going up the tree of life.
So,
that's amazing. Thank you. And I found it really interesting that I have clients that date and people who date. Like, you were a dater, right, Tara? You dated a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and I was a mater. I met somebody. I had a date with him on Friday. I moved in and lived with him until he died. You know what I mean? And same with my second significant other. I met him, and very shortly, we've been together very shortly for 4 years, you know? And basically, I've never had a lot of dates, but I've made it twice this lifetime. And there are women who will wait 15, 20 years, and they will find somebody, and they will mate. I recently had a client who's very close to me who hadn't had any dates in 15 years, and she met somebody, they made love, and they're still together several years later. So some of us are maters, and some of us are daters. So if you haven't found the person that you're going to mate with, just probably understand that you may be a mater, not a dater. I imagine your twin sister was also a dater?
Yes, of course.
You know, my teacher Esperanza said something very sacred about twins, and she said that when twins are in the womb together, they've gone through every relationship possible. They've been lovers, they've been enemies, they've been mother, daughter, father, sister, brother, all those combinations. And when you're a twin, it's the most sacred relationship you can have with another soul. And that's the two souls that need to complete their relationship, become twins, and the arch enemy, the evil arch enemy, and the good person become twins also. That's the circumstance you're not living. But that's another way that twins are. And twins have a very, very powerful connection. And Esperanza believes that one and one equals three with twins, so that the two of you together have the spiritual energy of three people.
I think that's true. I think we've been able to give each other a lot of courage over the years. And talking about the topic of mirroring that we were talking about earlier, we happen to be mirror twins, which is a particular type of identical twin where the egg splits at just the right time so that one person becomes left-handed, the other becomes right-handed, and they perfectly mirror one another. So my entire life has been the experience of looking in the mirror at someone who looks almost exactly like me, but in reverse. And I don't even know what that has done to my psyche, but I know it's something very profound. It's hard to describe it to someone who doesn't have that mirror all the time in their life, but it's a very intense path of and always being put under the microscope as well, so that your most minute differences are always being compared by other people, so that you're always acutely aware of yourself in certain ways. I don't know if any of that makes sense.
It does make sense, and it also I could see where it could be very frustrating too. And it could be, you know, you got to work on this now, and you're like, I don't feel like working on it. And then you see your twin, and it's obvious that you have to work on it, you know. It could be very frustrating. Fortunately for you, you got feedback. Many metaphysical, many spiritual people live their life without getting feedback or ignoring the feedback that they do get, you know. So blessed is the relationship between twins.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to the Magdalene Isis theme, and I don't know how many people actually realize this, but Isis had an identical twin.
Was it Nexus?
Nephthys, and of course Isis was the goddess of light and Nephthys was the goddess of the dark. So together they accomplished the resurrection of Osiris. It was both of their energies, the light and the dark, were needed. And I in so much of like Greek mythology and all these other mythological systems are fascinated by twins and twinning. You know, the Greeks were really fascinated by it.
Well, you know, a lot of Earth starting stories, you know, even in the Mayan culture, there were two twins. One was light,
right.
One was dark, you know, and a lot of the stories about the world being born are twins, you know, so that's really important.
We live in a world of polarity and duality, a world of a binary code. Even our computers are based on the binary code of 0 and 1. Everything in our world is that binary code of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. So I think twins are kind of like a living embodiment of that for people, and that might be partly why there's so much fascination with the twinning.
Yes. I think that's important, and I can understand how living it for all these years has tempered you in a very different way than most people can be tempered. And tempered makes you strong, you know. That's important. Mm-hmm. I have a book for you to read. It's called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus by Marie Claire something or other.
Mm-hmm. Anna, Grandmother of Jesus.
Yeah, and I think that it will answer some questions for you about the Mary Magdalene lineage,
mm-hmm.
and I think it will answer some questions that you have in your own mind and fill in some holes for you. It's pretty interesting. All right, we have a few minutes left here, and I just want to tell everybody what I'm doing. Just recently, I put Aura Zone online for sale at masteryourlight.com, and it is about where your aura is situated around your body, and if it isn't in an appropriate place, what you can do to move it in a place where you can become more connected and stronger. I'm still giving readings. I think I have eight or nine books for sale right now that I have authored. And when are we going to see a book out of you, Tara?
I already co-authored a book with Isha Lerner called Triple Goddess Tarot. Some people might be aware of it listening to this, but you're right. I know that I've got several books in me, and I feel they're being pulled out of me right now. I think people show up in your life at certain times to pull certain things out of you, and to tell you what they need from you, and that's how you know what it is you're here to offer. And I have a lot of people in my life right now that are doing that. So.
That's wonderful. TaraFaulknerPhD.com. All sorts of wonderful different astrological readings, most of them around $65. There are a few that are a little bit less and a few that are a little bit more. Great price, great, great astrological healer, teacher, and I want to say wizard, but that's not the right word. A master would probably be right. Play with her. Now everybody take a deep breath. Connect to Earth.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.